Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to episode 191 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good, but I'm cold. It's freezing again in South Carolina. I'm not really sure why, and I absolutely hate it. Like, it was 70 last week, it was baseball weather, and now it's all of a sudden not, and just not a fan. I know you. I can't complain because Maine is always cold and snowy, and so at least we haven't had a snow this year. So that's, I can't say that.
And at the current point in time, we are gearing up for, well, when we're recording this on Monday night, we are gearing up for another snowstorm because Mother Nature is pissed off for some reason. It's the middle of March. Red Sox opening day is in a little over 2 weeks, and we're gonna get a foot of snow. This is fun. People are already calling on at my work for the following day because it's going to start around 3, 4 a.m. or so. So the drive-in will be not so great. I live like four miles from my work, so I kind of have no excuse not to go in. But yeah, it's going to be hopefully this is the last big storm, and then we can finally get spring here and get baseball weather permanently because it's not looking so great right now. And of course, Boston opens at home for some reason because the people that made the MLB schedule are drunk. Yeah, let's start the season in Boston in late March. Yeah, that makes so much sense. But anywho, got a really fun podcast lined up. We actually have a trio of podcasts that all kind of link together. We did these last year. They were well received. So we figured, hey, why not do them again? They are our guys for 2023. And then, as I mentioned, we'll do three episodes. We are going to do this one for you know, major league guys, and then one for prospects. But we got names on the list, and there are so many names on the list for this one. We're like, hey, let's break this up into two. So we'll do hitters here, then pitchers, and then do a prospects episode after that. So nice little trio of episodes upcoming over the next week or so. But before we get into the episode today, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg, I'm at EricCross04, and our show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out my Patreon for more work from me and Chris's Substack for more work from him. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code ToolShed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and they can be used at any of their fun fantasy games, including MLB best balls, individual player pick-ems across all sports, and so much more. Sign up today using that code ToolShed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-ToolShed. All right, so we'll break this up. We'll go, we each have, was it one catcher, two corner infielders, two middle infielders, and three outfielders. So I believe if my math serves me correctly, that'll be 16 total players. The criteria was just, hey, these guys that we think are just going to rise up dynasty rankings a fair amount this season. We didn't take anybody within our top 50. A couple, I think we're probably back end top 100 guys. And there are a couple prospects on here, but I think there's only four prospects. They've either all debuted and one has not debuted, but probably will early this year. So a little bit of a cheat there, but it's a good name. So we will leave it in there. We'll start with catcher here. And Chris, lead it off.
So this might be a surprise because he's probably higher for most people, but I went with Alejandro Kirk, who, you know, I've always been fairly high on. We've talked about him for quite some time here on the show. And unfortunately, I did drop him a little bit this offseason in my rankings. He sits around like 140 overall in my dynasty rankings. But I do think that with Toronto basically clearing out Moreno, that Kirk is going to get the majority of the time behind the plate. I know Danny Jansen's there too. He's going to play a lot, but they're going to get DH reps too. And last year, Kirk got 541 plate appearances. Good for a 285, 372, 415 slash. The power, you know, the slug was not that great. A 130 ISO is fine, but nothing special. He hit 14 home runs. Kirk makes elite contact. He always has. He had a 91% zone contact last year and an 86% overall contact. Doesn't chase that often. I just really think the biggest hindrance is that Kirk needs to hit the ball on the ground less. I do think he's completely capable of that. You look across the board at Savant Page, and he performs really well in a lot of categories. Obviously, the K rate, like I said, he's going to get on base a lot. He makes a lot of contact. He doesn't whiff at all. Sprint speed's low. That's whatever. It's irrelevant here. But he's also a pretty good catcher. Like, his framing's really good, which I like to see. It's going to help his time behind the plate. Just a well-rounded hitter who hits the ball respectively hard, but his barrel rate just doesn't reflect it because he doesn't hit the ball on the ground enough. If you look at the launch angle itself, it's like, okay, 8.1 degrees isn't terrible, but it's not truly reflective of who he is because it's like either, you know, pounded into the ground or it's fly ball, and it's not like a healthy fly ball either. So I do think that Kirk can make these adjustments and really rise up. He just turned 24 this offseason. Like, we're talking about somebody that debuted in 2020 as a 21-year-old at catcher. He's just turned 24. Like, if we're going to write him off, I don't say nobody's writing him off, but if we're going to say, like, his development's done, then I think that's pretty crazy. I do think the development can continue. I think Kirk's a really good hitter, and I think that Kirk's just going to be in for a really good season this year. So he's a good buy in a dynasty league because it's almost like he's been forgotten about a bit. I'll say just completely forgotten about, but he's not discussed in the elite catchers. And I think he will be there after this year, which is why I think that he's a buy, and I think he can really rise up rankings.
Yeah. The best way I can describe it with Kirk is I think the hype and the buzz is kind of like plateaued. Like you say, it hasn't like gone down, but it's just like, it just stopped. Like the engine, the hype train kind of like ran out of steam with him. Why? I don't know. Maybe it was because there was, you know, concerns about him losing playing time. But, you know, the bat, he'll be in that lineup between, like you mentioned, catcher, DH. It's a good lineup, good park. You know, I'm definitely buying Kirk as well. And I think this next guy could rise into the, you know, upper tier of fantasy catchers this year as well. That's William Contreras, former Atlanta Brave, now with the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's another one where a lot of the projections have him in the, you know, right under 500 plate appearances. I think that's too low. I mean, Victor Caratini is not stealing PAs from anybody. And even when he does get in there, you can throw Contreras at catcher, especially if it gets a lefty. You know, Jesse Winker is not going to be in there against tough lefties for the most part. So I think you could probably add at least 50 to 75 plate appearances. I think it'll be in like that 550 to 575 range. And you look at what he did last year, 20 home runs and just 376 plate appearances. Hit 278, 354, 506. And, you know, he's look at the profile. I don't really see it supporting a 278 average, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, 240 or anything like that either. I think, you know, 255, 260. He's a career 260 hitter through 571 plate appearances. Hits the ball really, really hard. 13.4% barrel rate last year, 90.4 average exit velo, 46.6 hard hit rate, walk 10.1% of the time as well. And while he's not the best contact hitter, you know, the contact rates are, you know, below average. Whiff rates are, well, hot, above average, well, below at worse than average, however you want to say that. But he's been making slight improvements, you know, the zone contact's going up a little bit every year, up to 74.2 last year, which is still, again, worse than average, but better. Chase rate's coming down a little bit. Whiff rate's coming down a little bit. So, while, again, I don't think he's 278 like he was last year, 260, definitely attainable with how hard he hits the ball. And I think if he gets to that 550 to 575 plate appearance range with his quality of contact, I don't think 30 home runs are out of the question. And if you're looking at 260 with 30 home runs, and, you know, Milwaukee's lineup is, I think, probably a mid-pack lineup this year. I think it could be pretty solid. So, you know, probably he's going to hit lead, not lead off, the cleanup, I should say. Probably get a lot of RBI opportunities. So you could probably see him flirt with 80, 90 RBI and maybe like 70, 75 runs scored. He's a nice four-category guy, and I think he's going to vault up rankings, be a no-doubt top 100 dynasty asset by the end of the year. Maybe not top 50, but I can see him definitely getting into the, you know, why not? Why can't he get into that Will Smith range? I think he definitely get that, you know, top 60 to 70 range or so. So yeah, I'm definitely all, I won't say all in, but definitely buying William Contreras anywhere I can in dynasty leagues right now. All right, over to corner infield. Let's give both of ours, and then I'll give both of mine as well. Chris, who do you got for corner infielders here?
Let's start with Andrew Vaughn. It's a weird take because I like Vaughn a lot, but I also think there's a pretty high threshold for him to be a successful first baseman. We look at the first base landscape, there's a lot of power, and we really need to see the power tick up this year for this to happen. Now, there's some interesting projections out there on him. I mean, so far in his career, Vaughn's hit 15 home runs in 2021 over 469 plate appearances, and then he hit 17 last year over 555. Zips DC projections has him at 29 home runs over 609 plate appearances. That seems pretty crazy to me. If he does, I'll take it all day. The Fangraphs has him at 26 home runs. Zips has him at 20. I think the Zips DC is just adjusted for playing time. Steamer has him at 23. I just need Vaughn to hit 25 home runs. The hit tool's there, the contact's there. Like, he does everything you want to see because he has a 90% Z-con, 80% contact. He's pretty similar to Kirk in the fact that he just hits the ball on the ground too much, not enough line drives, and just not great fly balls, in my opinion. He doesn't walk a ton either. So maybe that does benefit him in some way where he puts more balls in play. It's not like he's striking out a ton either. So it's a weird profile. Vaughn's just 24, though. He's been playing out of position for his whole career. He's finally going to be settling at first base in Chicago. And I really do think there's a chance that he jumps up rankings pretty significantly. I mean, we're looking at last year having a 48.6% hard hit rate. So I look at that and I'm like, okay, there is some power here. You look at his average EV, 90.8 miles an hour, definitely solid power. Same case with the barrel as Kirk. It's like 7.9%. You look at the profile, you look at everything else, like, okay, like his barrel percentage should be higher, but the ground balls kind of kill it. There's not enough balls in the sweet spot. But I really believe that Andrew Vaughn can make the adjustment this year and really see that script be flipped on him. I think he can become the power hitter that we want him to be. Maybe he's not 30-plus, but that's okay. Like, I don't need him to be a 30-plus home run bat because the hit tool is so good. So with Andrew Vaughn, I just need him to be a solid contact and good power. And that leads into my next player, because I already hinted his name. I was looking at it on my screen, and I said it out loud.
Spoiler alert.
A couple sentences early, I was literally just reading it on my screen. It's Ke'Bryan Hayes, who is having a monster spring. Now, I don't put a ton of stock into spring training unless there's like something that's actually changing. So with Hayes, it's like, okay, well, we know he hits the ball hard. Last year, the results were there. His average exit velocity was 85th percentile at 91 miles an hour. His max EV is really good. His hard hit rate's right up there with Vaughn at 47%. Puts a lot of balls into play. He does really everything you want him to see, but the barrel rate was 3.9%. He just doesn't hit the ball at optimal launch angles. Hits the ball hard. When he does hit the ball hard in the air, it's to the opposite field, which ultimately kills his power. But this spring has been a different story with Hayes. Now, you look at the numbers, it's like, okay, yes, just 13 at-bats. He's hitting .231 and hasn't walked. Like, okay, this isn't good, but he does have 2 home runs. And beyond that, what's important is that he's lifting the ball. Like, that's what I care about. Like, that, not the numbers, not the fact that he has 2 home runs and 13 at-bats. Like, that's great. That batting average, I could really care less about right now. But it's more the fact that he's just lifting it. That's all I needed to see from him to think that a breakout is possible. And I truly believe that that could be the case with Ke'Bryan Hayes. If he does, you know, what are we looking at here? It's not going to be 30 home run bat. Like, that doesn't worry me that much. But I do think that he's capable of being a 20 home run bat that steals 20 bases. Like, that's pretty encouraging to me when we look at that profile. Third base is a wasteland. And you can live with a 20 home run Ke'Bryan Hayes when he also gives you stolen bases. And I think he's going to give you a decent average. What I really like to see is that his spring training, like the spray chart, looks really good. It's more pulled balls. And that's what I wanted to see from him. I just need to see more pulled balls. And ultimately, we've seen that so far. We've seen more lift. We've seen really hard hit balls. So I'm in on Ke'Bryan Hayes. I really want him everywhere. And I was really thinking about another third baseman. I thought you would pick him. Say I'm also in on Alec Bohm. I won't go into detail. But I thought you might pick him there.
I almost did. I was wondering,
but I held off because I was like, okay, I'll let him. I thought you might take him. So I was like, I like Vaughn. I like Hayes. But Bohm's also another one that's really done some things this spring that I'm like, okay, like I can buy into this. But my guys are Andrew Vaughn and Ke'Bryan Hayes. Bohm is a secondary corner infielder.
Yeah, Bohm is basically, okay, take away the speed from Hayes, but add more, you know, average. But they're kind of in the same ballpark with where they're at with the power, right? They both have pretty good, but not great raw power. They both have some solid, you know, quality of contact metrics. But they hit the ball in the ground way too much, and they're both lifting more this spring. So, yeah, definitely encouraging. And not to throw some cold water on Hayes, because I do like Hayes, and I agree with basically everything you said. I just want to ask you a question. Let's say it doesn't happen, you know? Let's just say, you know, this has been a mirage this spring, and he's the same old Hayes this year. How long are we going to wait for this to happen? Like, if it doesn't happen this year, are you out then? Kind of what were your thoughts there?
I don't know. I mean, it's a really tough profile to like evaluate, because in one sense, it's like, okay, the speed's really good. Like, that's a huge plus at third base.
Right.
So getting stolen base. And he's even said this year he wants to run more, which I don't know how much I believe. Like, we see a lot of this stuff like, oh, I'm going to do all this and, you know, it's best shape of my life. So what is he actually going to do? I'm not sure, but I don't think it's going to take much for the power to tick up. Like, I look at his spray chart last year and, man, he's just so close on so many fly balls to the outfield. And there were so many to the opposite field that are like incredibly close, man. I'm telling you, like, it's like he's got like 25 opposite field batted balls that are like within 10 to 15 feet of going out. So it's not going to take much for the power to tick up. But I do see your point. Like, so let's just say he's a 10 home run, 20 stolen base guy. Like, how valuable is that? I think he's got to drop like outside of like 200s in dynasty rankings, maybe even like top 250. Like, then, because what is he at that point? Like, if he's 10 home runs, we'll say 15 steals and he hits 270, like, you know, I feel like that's pretty replaceable ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of like my thought is if it doesn't happen, and I think it can, I'm definitely on board with you on this one. And Hayes is one I thought of as well for this, but yeah, I'm just like, how long are we going to wait? And again, he's still young. What is Hayes? 24, 25. So maybe even, is he 23? I don't know. Somewhere in that range. So he's still young. Obviously not. He's like 29, 30 years old or anything like that. But yeah, definitely this, I think this would be a big year. This could be not a make or break year, but definitely a huge year for Hayes, you know, kind of showing what he's going to be moving forward. I'm going with a hometown pick here for my first one. I'm going Tristan Casas. You know, I've watched a lot of Tristan Casas. He was the guy I wanted Boston to get back in the 2019 draft, and they got him. That usually doesn't happen in baseball, especially when we were picking 26th, I want to say it was, that year. So I'm falling the draft board. So yeah, I think he was a mid-first-round pick projected, but fell a little bit to the Sox. And I've seen a lot of Tristan Casas. And, you know, first off, if you just look at his minor league numbers, while they're solid kind of all the way around, they don't stand out at you. You know, he's a 269 career hitter in the minor leagues. Never had more than 20 home runs back in 2019. Last 2 years, 14 home runs, 12 home runs in 86 and 76 games, respectively. But he even said in an interview that he never was really trying to hit for, you know, a lot of home runs. He was working on the other parts of his game at the plate, his approach, pitch recognition, you know, going the other way, all this stuff that was incredibly encouraging for me to hear when he said that. This is probably about a year ago now or so. Because we all know, like, if you watch Tristan Casas for half a second, just look at him. You know, like, the power is there. It's a big, what is he, 6'4", 250. Yeah, 6'4", 250 listed. He's every bit of that, but he's strong, really strong. Like, throw his entire body, strong upper half. His legs are tree trunks. Like, this guy just looks the part of a power hitter, and I've seen him take batting practice several times. He can hit some absolute tanks. Like, we know there's double plus raw power in there. There's a 30-plus homer bat in there, even at Fenway as a lefty. So the fact that he was working on the other parts of his game and he knew that he could, you know, flip a switch and start hitting for more power, he's been very impressive so far this spring. 10 for 28, two doubles, two home runs. That does have 8 strikeouts, but not concerned whatsoever. This is a guy, even for a bigger guy, he's shown incredible, you know, just patience at the plate, pitch selection, doesn't get fooled often. And you look at over the last 2 years combined in the minor leagues, K rate was 20% on the nose over 162 games. So, you know, combined for a full season there. So I think you're going to see the beginning of a big breakout this year. I don't think he's going to turn into that 30-plus home run masher right away, obviously. But I think you can see 25 to 30 home runs. And, you know, maybe next year is like the full, the finishing of the breakout. And he's a top 10 fantasy first baseman for years to come. So very excited, both as a fantasy analyst, as a prospect analyst, and as a Red Sox fan for Tristan Casas. I'm trying to get him everywhere I can, redraft, and especially in Dynasty. So definitely all in on Tristan Casas. My other corner infielder here, I'm going Rowdy Tellez. You know, someone that I was never, well, I was never like low on Rowdy Tellez. I was just never a big Rowdy Tellez guy. But, you know, digging into his profile more this offseason, it has me really buying in, you know, in a lot of places, because he's better than his 219 average showed. Like, look at the last 3 years, XBA 283, 265, 252. Only struck out 20, right around 20% of the time each of the last 2 years. Improved the walk rate to a career best 9%, which is, you know, that's a pretty solid. I think that's slightly above league. I think league average is around like 8% or so. So a little bit above league average there. Quality of contact is very good. Hard hit rate over 45% each of the last 3 years. Barrel rate above 11% each of the last 2 years. And an exit velocity above 90 miles an hour each of the last 4 years. His max EV is always very high as well. X slug last year was in top 10% of baseball. And you look at his, you know, plate discipline metrics, and you look at him and you see the two, what was it? What did I say? It was 219 average, 218. Or does it? Yeah, 219. It doesn't line up. Like 83.3% zone contact, which is right around league average, even slightly above league average. Chase rate, slightly better than league average. Whiff rate, same thing, slightly better than league average. So he's like league average or slightly better than league average, basically across the board with plate discipline metrics. But, you know, the big thing was he got killed by the shift, you know, the last couple of years. Not so much last year, but more so 2021. But I think you'll see him benefit from that. And I think this is going to be some positive regression here. And I think if you see him get up into the, you know, 250 or so range, I don't think he's going to hit 270 or 280, but 250 with his profile, very attainable. And I think that 35 home runs, I think that's here to stay. I think he's going to be a 30-plus homer masher. So I think you can see him, you know, jump a good bit in rankings this year. Maybe sneak into that kind of that range where we kind of have like Rhys Hoskins, you know, maybe not quite up to Nathaniel Lowe, but, you know, kind of in that right around top 10, back end top 10, maybe slightly out of it for first base. And I think he's kind of still flying under the radar a bit. So one of my favorite dynasty buys right now, especially for corner infielders, is Rowdy Tellez. So for me, Tristan Casas and Rowdy Tellez, a pair of slugging lefties. All right, moving over to middle infield here. Chris, who you got?
All right, so this may seem like a recency bias pick with Brendan Donovan because he really didn't pop last year. Donovan does a lot of things well. And last year, as a 25-year-old rookie, his numbers were okay. I mean, the slash line was great. I mean, 281 average. He had a 394 OBP. Like, the plate discipline is really, really good here. Doesn't strike out, walks a ton, makes elite contact, 93% Z-Con, 86% overall contact, and the chase rate is extremely low. So, he only hit 5 home runs, stole 2 bases, like, that just doesn't do much for you in fantasy. But Donovan made some changes this offseason. The first is that he got fitted for a new bat, which seems pretty significant. So first is that, and also the fact that he's made some swing changes. You can look at his approach change, and it's been pretty evident. Like, he's switched things up a bit to try and get to a little more loft and get to a little more power. And that's been the case so far. I mean, the spring training returns have been good. And 20, just small samples, 29 at bats, but 9 hits, 4 home runs. So 310 average with a 355 OBP. What I love to see is that he's almost matched his home run total from last year in 29 at bats.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And he did all that last year, over 468 plate appearances at the big league level. So with a new bat, with a new approach, I really do think Donovan is capable of breaking out. And what does a breakout look like for him? I think that's the question that everybody wants answered. Obviously, the contact skills warrant a high batting average type player, but what kind of power can he get to? I realistically think that this can be a 15 home run bat. I don't think a whole lot needs to change from what we've seen for him to ultimately get to that power a little more. And if he does, with the contact skills, with the play discipline he has, like, it's going to be extremely good. And at second base, like, that'll play all day long. Like, if you get a 15 home run guy that gives you a couple stolen bases and a lead average and OBP, then you're going to be okay. Like, second base is not the best position in the world. And the home run totals are at least the threshold to be a good second baseman is a little bit low at second base. So Brendan Donovan's the first one that I'm in on. And the next would be Oswald Peraza, who I've talked pretty extensively about all offseason. But basically, the Yankees are giving him the shortstop job. He's going to have every chance to keep it. And yes, I know there's a guy named Anthony Volpe who's on the way. I think that Volpe could end up being the second baseman. This be Agreed. A great double play duo up the middle here. This isn't to discount Anthony Volpe at all, but I also think that Oswald Peraza is just this good, honestly. I think he's a bit underrated. He had a slow start to last year, but he really turned everything up a notch. And I don't think he gets the respect in prospect circles that he ultimately deserves. You know, he runs good contact numbers, really good in the majors. Small sample, though. Last year in the minors, his contact skills were good. He doesn't chase too much. Like, he puts up respectable EVs. I guess it's the kind of player that I think could be a really strong power and speed threat. Also give you a decent batting average as well. So I think that Peraza is going to get a chance. And if he runs with it, I think he's going to be a really, really good player for the Yankees. I know there's a lot of pressure playing in the Bronx, but I think he can handle it. He's the better glove at shortstop between him and Volpe. So that's why I think that he is the shortstop.
Better arm too.
Yeah, so you have both those things that you want to see out of him. So from June 1st until he got the call up to the majors, looking at a 267 plate appearance sample, Peraza had 14 home runs, he had 22 stolen bases, and 291, 365, 511 slash. And we know what he came up and did in the majors. It was really, really good. So I'm taking Peraza as someone who I think can, you know, embrace the pressure of being a 22-year-old playing in the Bronx and ultimately excel. So I am ultimately happy if Peraza plays all year and just gives me solid production.
Man, who needs a middle infield of B and Peraza when you have Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo? I mean, that's obviously the better middle infield duo right there. He says jealously of wanting. I love Volpe. I love Peraza. I love Austin Wells. I love so many Yankees prospects, and it really annoys me how much I love all these Yankee prospects. But yeah, no, Peraza, one of only a handful of guys to go 15 plus, 25 plus each the last 2 years. Yeah, definitely all in on Peraza as well. It's to be a, you know, Yankee fans, you know, you're going to have a lot of fun with that middle infield for next, you know, several years. What happens to Gleyber Torres? Who knows? Maybe if they keep having all their arms get hurt, maybe they trade Gleyber for a pitcher at the deadline or something like that. No one's Volpe's up. But yeah, Peraza, great choice there. I am going with another rookie infielder that debuted last year, Ezekiel Tovar. Looks like, again, kind of similar situation to Peraza. Looks like he's going to be given, you know, not given the Rocky treatment, and actually given a starting shot. I know, shocker. This is very un-Rocky-like, but got up last year for 9 games. But look at what he's done in the last couple of years in the minor leagues. Power, really, he bulked up a little bit over the layoff in 2020. Came back hitting for more power in 2021 and 2022. Combined for 29 home runs over those two seasons in 175 games. Hit 287, 322, 475 in 2021. 319, 387, 540 last year. Doesn't strike out a whole lot. K rate was just above 20%. Walk rate around a little under 9%. You know, I saw Tovar because, you know, Colorado's AA is Hartford, and they're in the same division as the Portland Sea Dogs. So one of the teams I see a fair amount of. I see a lot of Hartford, Binghamton, New Hampshire, obviously. It's probably the three teams I see the most. So I saw Tovar, you know, 5-6 times, something like that, when he came through Double A, you know, earlier on in 2022. And I was just impressed. Like, he just put the ball, he could use the entire field. He's got a little bit of that pull side pop. He even could drive the ball the other way pretty well. So I think he's going to be, you know, I could see him flirting with 20, you know, in a neutral park. I'd probably say around 15, 16, 17, something like that. You know, give him a little boost there. I think he could have some years, you know, upper 20, no, it's not upper 20s, upper teens, lower 20s at peak. And I think he's going to be a 20-plus steal guy as well. Not only is he a plus runner, he's an efficient base stealer as well, very smart base runner. He was only caught times in 20 attempts last year. He was only caught 6 times in 30 attempts the year before that. So over 80% each of the last 2 years. And get that nice BABIP boost from Coors Field to go along with the guy that is at least an above-average hitter. Again, he's not going to have that one wow tool, but just a guy that's going to do a lot of things very well. And I think he's going to be a top 100 dynasty player by the end of the season. So definitely going out and trying to get a lot of Ezekiel Tovar shares. This next one is one where I'm cheating because he's a prospect that has not debuted yet. And he only played about a third of his games last year at Midland Field. But I wanted to talk about this guy. I could have done it next episode with, you know, the prospects, but he's the one I really wanted to talk about here. And that's Curtis Meade. And you've heard some kind of reports out of the last, you know, couple of days that they could be looking at a long-term extension, you know, one of those, you know, the kind of deal that the Braves have come, you know, accustomed to making recently. You know, maybe it's not something as big as what Corbin Carroll got, but something along those lines. And it's not, I think that signals that Meade's going to be up sooner rather than later, likely by Memorial Day. Where does he play, though? I have no idea. That is, obviously, the Rays have a lot of moving parts. Meade is a bat-first guy, not a great defender, played mostly second and third. We'll see where he ends up. But wherever he does end up, I'm hoping it's second. It might be first. I don't know. But wherever he ends up, the bat's going to play. Like, he's one of the more underrated bats. And you know, I'm guilty of this myself in the minor leagues right now, because all he's done is hit. No, he doesn't have 40 home run power. He doesn't steal a ton of bags, but he's just one of the best pure hitters in the minor leagues. Over 226 games, we're looking at a 306, 376, 517 slash line, 77 and 32 home runs, walks at, you know, about a 9% clip, a little under 9%, does not strike out a lot. I think he's going to be, you know, Justin Turner, you know, peak Justin Turner, where he's hitting like 280, 290, you know, 25, you know, mid to upper 20s home runs, driving in, you know, good amount of runs. And maybe he even adds a little bit of speed. Like, he has 18 steals in 180 games over the last 2 years combined. So maybe he adds 5 to 10 steals or something like that. Well-rounded player, great, great profile offensively, very underrated. So Curtis Meade is a great buy right now in Dynasty League. So I got Curtis Meade and Ezekiel Tovar as my two guys for this year at the middle infield spot. Moving over to the outfield, we're going to do a trio each to round out the show. Chris, who you got?
All right, so I'm starting with Riley Green, who had a bit of a disappointing debut. You know, the numbers didn't pop like everybody wanted to for a top prospect, and it hurt his stock. Like, it's probably too late to buy low on Riley Green at this point, but if you somehow still can, like, I would be doing it all day long. His redraft value is ridiculously good going, you know, near pick 200. And I know you look at it and say, oh, he had 5 home runs and 418 plate appearances last year. He hit 253. He stole one base and was caught 4 times. Like, there are obviously things that you don't want to see out of a player. But again, talking about a 21-year-old rookie who showed some good things. Green made pretty good zone contact last year. 87% is well above league average. He chased it at 31% clip and had an overall contact of 78%. The biggest issue is that he hit the ball on the ground 56% of the time. It's obviously going to hinder you from getting a home run power. But it's also worth noting that that ballpark took a lot away. They did move the fences in some. Riley Green should be a beneficiary from that. He's off to a pretty good start so far for spring training. He has 2 home runs and 28 at-bats, hitting .286. Those are all pretty encouraging things. So you may be like, well, it's kind of useless to just use those spring training stats. I understand where you're coming from. I get it. But again, I think we're seeing him lift the ball more, and I'm really, really encouraged by that. And I think that Riley Green is ready to take a step forward. It's important to remember, like, after 2021, he was a top 5 prospect for fantasy purposes. And I gotta give guys benefit of the doubt. I mean, we're so quick to write him off. Green has 22 batted ball events this spring. He has an average EV of 93. Like, those are encouraging things. 4 barrels, like, that's phenomenal. XWOBA on contact is 658. That's really good. So across the board, he's doing a lot of things that you want to see outside of the numbers. And I think it is highly possible that we're looking at a potential breakout here in year 2 for Riley Green. And if he does, like, his value is going to soar because this was a top prospect, someone that everyone loved. And I think we're just so quick to write off these prospects when they don't come up and mash like Julio Rodriguez did, the discounts just become insane. So if you can get Riley Green on somewhat of the cheap, then I would do so in a heartbeat. My next one is Michael Conforto. You might say, well, that's weird. He just turned 30 years old. Yeah, I get it. Like, Conforto has been really, really good in the past. He's never been like a true stud player or anything, but he's had his moments where he looks really, really good. In between 2019 and 2020, we're looking at a 881 plate appearance sample between both years, but he had 42 home runs, 10 stolen bases, .274, .376, .499 slash. Those are all really encouraging numbers. Yeah, he didn't play at all last year because of injuries. That's a bit concerning, like that it, you know, injuries kept him out all year, but he looks like he's ready to take off again this spring. I mean, 4 home runs in 23 at-bats, .304 average, .346 OBP. He's swinging the bat really well. I actually like the fit in San Francisco a bit for him, and I think he can really excel here. There's going to be not much pressure on him either to perform. I think he does that. And Conforto just doesn't have a lot of dynasty stock right now, but it enables him to just kind of do his thing freely. And I think he really could take off. So Michael Conforto is my next one. This next one was really hard. It's funny because I considered all 3 of the names on your list. I didn't know who was on your list at the time, but I considered all 3 of those names you put. I ultimately settled on Will Brennan. You know, what kind of player is Will Brennan? He's not like a super like flashy player, but neither was Stephen Kwan. And everybody loves Stephen Kwan. Now, Brennan doesn't make as elite of contact as Kwan does. That would be someone like Sal Frelick, who I think can become the next Stephen Kwan, who I did also think about here, but you maybe save that for the prospect episode. So Will Brennan overall, just a hitter. Like, he just hits. He doesn't strike out a lot. He had 12% strikeout rate last year in the minors, and he came up, and in his major league sample, he struck out even less, like 8.9%. That's just absolutely nuts to think about. He walked a decent clip in the minors. We didn't see it as much in the majors, but he also provided power and speed. So between AA, AAA, and the majors, looking at 14 home runs and 22 stolen bases, all while hitting over 300 at every stop. AA was .311. AAA, that was his biggest sample of 93 games, 433 plate appearances. He hit .316. And then in the majors, he hit .357. And he's still an afterthought in Dynasty and in Redraft. He's a really good value. If you think Miles Straw is going to play every day over this guy, I think you're mistaken. Will Brennan's going to get an everyday job. And I think he has a high chance to really run it. Like, this is a profile that Cleveland loves. Cleveland thrives with this kind of profile. I just don't see Miles Straw playing in center field every day for the Cleveland Guardians, a team that went deep in the playoffs last year. Straw just not good at all last year. I mean, he hit 221. He had a sub 300 OBP. Did not hit a home run. He was productive in stealing bases, but just not a lot that he brought to the table. And I don't know. I'm kind of out on somebody that has a 64 WRC plus. I just think it's Will Brennan's job. Ultimately, he's hitting well in spring training. So I'm just banking on him taking the job and going to run with it. So Brennan, and then also looking at Michael Conforto there. And then my top guy that I mentioned was Riley Green. So those three guys in the outfield, love them all. I think they're all really good dynasty buys right now.
You know, it's funny with Cleveland. You mentioned they love this profile. Cleveland doesn't care about our fantasy teams. Like, flashy is not their go-to. Even, like, on the pitching side, you had some guys have become flashy, and, yeah, they have Espino. But, like, you know, was Bieber really, like, a flashy prospect? Even Joe Ram wasn't, like, a flashy prospect. They just don't like those flashy guys. But, hey, they've had a lot of success and, you know, are one of the top teams in baseball again this year. So it works for them. And yeah, Will Brennan definitely is going to be a part of that. Yeah, Miles Straw, he needs to be, I think he's actually a perfect, like, late inning pinch runner / defensive replacement. That is his profile. It shouldn't be a starter. It's like, all right, I'm in the eighth inning for some defense. Give him, you know, pinch run him at some point. I think that's what he should be. And I think Cleveland will realize that at some point this year, that Will Brennan's just a better bat to have in the lineup. All right, my three here, this was really hard to narrow it down. And this guy, I'm starting with it, I think is the highest ranked guy on my list. And he's a guy that's been talked about a million times this offseason. But guess what? You have to listen to another Taylor Ward kind of rant here. I love Taylor Ward. Obviously, started out on fire last year. A little bit of an injury, you know, a little bit of a midseason swoon. Finished the season strong. And still the overall numbers were just really, really good all the way around. Quality of contact, plate approach. You know, last year, 10.6% walk rate, 21.3% strikeout rate, 12.4% barrel rate, 42.9% hard contact. You look at the Savant page, it's a lot of pink, a lot of red there. He's got, you know, right around 84% zone contact, slightly above average there. Chase and whiff are both better than league average, especially the chase rate. You don't get him swinging outside the zone very much at all. 20.6% chase rate there. Major league average is around 28.5%. This really solid profile here. And he can run a little bit as well. Like last year, he went 23-5, even with that midseason swoon. I think he's in line for a really big year. He's going to be hitting, let's see, where do they project him to? I think it's fifth. I don't know. Oh, no, leadoff. That's right. They're saying he's a new leadoff with a couple guys named Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani behind him. If Rendon could stay healthy, then you know, Hunter Renfrow, Brennan Drury. So you could see 100 runs out of Taylor Ward this year. Again, he's a good OBP guy, always kind of has been. Like I mentioned, you know, contact rates are there, walk rates there, doesn't strike out a lot. I think you could literally see a 30 homer, 90 plus, even maybe 100 run season, adding in 5 to 10 steals, the good average, good OBP. I think he's going to take that next step and have kind of the year that he could have had last year if it wasn't for that midseason kind of swoon. So I am definitely, even though he's 29, I think he's going to take that next step and be, you know, a top 50 guy for the next, at least the next few years here as into his early 30s. My next guy here, you know, next two guys are both guys that kind of in similar spots in their career. The one's played a little bit more in the major league level, but we'll start with Garrett Mitchell, obviously one of the more impressive players this spring. And the upside with Garrett Mitchell has always been in there. Like, he's a guy that was kind of in contention for, you know, 1-1 in FYPDs a couple years ago when he was drafted. You know, the big power speed one out of UCLA, high draft pick, you know, getting into a pretty solid Milwaukee system there. But while the numbers in the minor leagues, they weren't bad. It was just a lot of inconsistencies, especially in the power department. But we knew, like, there's at least above average raw power with Garrett Mitchell, maybe even plus raw power, but hit too many ground balls. Another kind of like you see a theme here where these guys that are showing a little bit more elevation this spring, Alec Bohm, Ke'Bryan Hayes, you know, the list goes on and on here. So I think Mitchell is going to have a really, really good year. And something that benefits him, too, is he's a very good defender in center field. So I think it's got to give him a longer leash than, you know, obviously a poor defensive outfielder would get. And he needs that, too, with he's got, you know, obviously Sal Frelick, who Chris mentioned earlier, even Joey Weimer. He's got a couple of guys that are, like, right on his heels that if he goes into a prolonged slump, you know, could take his spot in that in center field. But especially Frelick, who I think is a little bit closer than Joey Weimer. But he's already hit 3 home runs this spring. You know, was a little bit hurt the other day, but should be fine. Looks like he's going to be totally fine, ready for spring training, no issues there. And I think there's a guy that can push 15 to 20 home runs, guy that could have 20-plus steals. He's always, even though he hasn't walked yet this spring, always been, you know, a higher walk rate guy. And even if he can just hit 250, keep the K rate in check. That's the huge issue with Mitchell. In addition to hitting too many ground balls, is there was way too much swing and miss in his game. There's way too much chase in his game. Like I said, the chase rate was above 40% last year, as was the K rate. Those need to improve. Like, there's no doubt about it. Those need to improve. Sorry, the F rate was 31%, but I still thought it was above 40, but that's still way too high. K rate was 41%, but hits the ball hard. Even last year, 11.8% barrel rate, 41.2 hard hit rate, 92.9 average exit velocity, 2 home runs, 8, like 2 home runs and 8 steals in just 68 plate appearances. He was showing, like, he's shown flashes. So I think as long as he can get 250, which I think is definitely possible there, he's got the power speed. I think he's going to take a big step forward. And I think what you're seeing this spring is for real. Like, this is what Garrett Mitchell is capable of. So everyone needs to kind of take notice. And again, so some red flags in the profile, as I mentioned, but love the upside. So I've always been a big Garrett Mitchell guy, and I will continue to be a big Garrett Mitchell guy this year. Last guy on the list, I believe, is now the only guy, as he had another steal today, to have 3 home runs and 3 steals this spring. And that's Josh Lowe. Still striking out a little bit too much. That's always kind of been his bugaboo, is striking out at a higher rate, lower contact skills, but always been a high walk rate guy. Honestly, I think him and Garrett Mitchell could be pretty damn close long term. They both show good power speed blends. Both are good defensive outfielders as well, which helps their case. But obviously, Tampa Bay got a lot of mouths to feed there. There's a clear path to playing time right now for Mitchell, but not really so much for Josh Lowe, who's got Manny Margot out there. Obviously, Randy Arozarena ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Jose Siri, who had, you know, nice little power speed blend there as well. You know, and so where does he fit in? I don't know. We'll see. Harold Ramirez also played a little bit of outfield, I believe. So not a clear path, but I think at some point, obviously, like Manny Margot, he's had his fair share of injuries, up and down performance with him. Who knows with Jose Siri? Obviously, he's a fun little player, but definitely not a lock. The only real lock in that outfield is Randy Arozarena. So I think you could see Josh Lowe get into that lineup at some point. So maybe he even forces his way this spring if he keeps playing really well, hitting for, you know, power, hitting for decent average, stealing bases, showing that good defense. So I'm definitely not out by any means on Josh Lowe. I'm still very much in on him. And I think the price tag right now is very, very affordable in dynasty leagues. So I am looking to get him in any league I can right now. It's given that combination of high upside, low price. That's a great potential ROI there. And again, it's low risk because you won't have to give up much to get him. So if it doesn't work out, you know, again, didn't give up much to get him. So love Josh Lowe. He's my last guy. So Josh Lowe and Garrett Mitchell and Taylor Ward are my 3 outfielders. So 16 players here that Chris and I are very much in on right now. Go out and target these guys in dynasty leagues or even redraft, whatever. We're kind of focusing more on kind of dynasty buys with this episode here. And we got 2 more of these coming right up for you. We'll have pitching next episode, and then we'll get in some prospect, our guys for prospect in the prospect world in the 3rd episode of this kind of 3-part series. But that will wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. Go drop a 5-star rating and review. Those mean a lot. Check us out on Twitter, obviously, at EricCross04, at RotoClay, at ToolShedPod, and all of our work, you know, especially over, I got RotoBaller, FTN, Chris is over at Fantasy Pros, and his Substack, and my Patreon as well. We definitely appreciate the support all around, and we'll be back with you again in a couple of days. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.